stories online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a man wonders if his occupation could be the cause of his haunted home. While riding in a car, a four-year-old sees something that she cannot explain even as an adult. Could there be something that lingers along a deserted road and only comes out at night? And will try to sneak back into his house, a listener finds something terrifying on his way home. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Do I look spooky at all? Am I covered in the dust of ceiling tile at all? I can feel it in my head.
Oh,
or,
no.
Or in my remnants of hair.
No, you
it's
don't,
in there.
You don't look ghostly.
I just got done disposing of a whole bunch of ceiling tile, and that was extremely exciting and joyous.
That stuff's fun.
We had those piles in the garage, finally got rid of them, and feel a little satisfied about that.
Good.
But also very dirty at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm just like, there's like dust that comes off of that stuff, and it's like, yeah. So anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. You can write in that way, or you can write in through our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or call in through the phone number. Or you can even send us an email with your audio file that you record on your phone. You can do that by emailing it to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get those experiences and those stories to us to relay here on the show. So there you go, as our littlest one would say. Am I the only one who still says that, or does she say goat still too?
You're the only one that says that.
We'll probably always say that now. Mm-hmm. I just love it. There you goat. It's funny. Goats. Anytime you involve a goat with something, it's funny. Claudia writes in, hello, my name's Claudia from Houston, Texas. I've been listening to you for almost a year, and I'm an EPP, and thank you for your show. This will probably be long, so I apologize. I'm 99% sure I am not as sensitive. I don't see or feel ghosts, I think, but several of my dreams have come out true. What are you doing?
I have something itching me on the back of my neck, so I'm trying to take a picture of it so I can see what's going on the back of my neck.
I'm reading the story, and I look over, and Jenny has her camera phone on and the flash on constantly, and she's like at a weird angle holding it. Ghost? Get any orbs on that thing?
No, but I got some weird marks. It's like somebody stabbed me with a fork.
Claw marks?
No.
Three? Let me see.
Oh
my God, it's a pentagram.
No,
it's coming out of your skin. Anyway, continuing on with the story while Jenny does her back photo shoot over there. I don't see or feel ghosts, I think, but several of my dreams have come out true. But now, listening to your show, I know for sure my brother is a 100% sensitive, and apparently so was my mom. On this email, I'll tell you two situations that I think I was able to witness just because it involved my mom and brother on separate occasions. My mom is no longer with us due to cancer. She died really young at the age of 42. Growing up, she'd always tell us stories how she would see her grandmother in the yard while she washed dishes or hear people in her house who she knew were dead. Also, my mother said that when her dad was on his deathbed, he would start yelling because he knew his ex-wife, my mom's mom, was coming for him. And that would scare him, seeing how he had cheated on my grandmother most of the marriage. The story I'm going to tell you had to do with my mother. I was around 13 years of age, and it was my mom and me in the house. I was in the kitchen making pancakes or something, because I know it was a flat pan that I was using. I was in the kitchen, and our kitchen at the time had a wall that would close it from the rest of the house. I was cooking when out of nowhere I heard my mom call me. Paulina, my middle name, right away. I looked to see if my mom was calling. The moment I had turned the pan I was using fell on the floor right where my foot was. The reason I had even moved was because I had seen a shadow of a person near the door. The whole ordeal scared me, because if I hadn't turned to look, the pan would have fallen on me when it was hot from the stove. At that time, I didn't have time to care about the pan because I needed to check on my mom. She was in bed due to the last chemo treatment. When I finally made it into her room, she was asleep. Mind you, this whole ordeal was within seconds. Later on, when my mom woke up, she told me she was so happy because her son had come to visit her while she slept. Background, my mom had a son before me, and he died at the age of 3 years old, a month after my birth. I told her what had happened to me in the kitchen, and she said maybe he was watching out for you. I was just happy I hadn't seen my brother while he was there. My brother is for sure sensitive. We all know ghosts follow him or just show themselves to him. When we lived at home, he'd always say he would hear kids in his room. When he and I lived in our own apartment, he always told me about the dark guy who stood in the corner of his room. I was about 19 years old, and my family had left for a trip to Mexico, so of course I had a huge girls' night at my house. I had about 8 friends over. We're eating, chatting, you know, being girls. It was about 2 in the morning, and we're all having fun when one of my friends, Jenna, had to go use the bathroom. The bathroom was in the middle of the hall, where the bedrooms were. My room was on the right corner, the bathroom center, and my brother's room was on the left side of the hall, while the rest of us were in the living room talking and eating. Jenna went on to the restroom and left the door open. Out of nowhere, we all hear music, and it was old-time music, like from the 20s. Not something a radio station would normally play. We all hear the music, but no one said anything because we all figured Jenna had turned something on. Out of nowhere, Jenna yells from the toilet, "Who turned on the old music?" We all looked at each other and noticed it was coming from my brother's room. We all screamed and ran out of the house. Yes, we left Jenna in the toilet and called my parents in Mexico at 2 a.m. Eventually, we went to my brother's room, and the music came from an alarm clock my boyfriend had given me, but the odd part was there was no alarm set or no radio station programmed. And like I said, the music was so old it couldn't have come from any station my brother listened to. I'll write back with more stories that have happened to my brother and maybe dreams that have come out true later on. Thank you.
I would be so pissed if my friends left me in the bathroom and took off running when creepy music came on.
You're just there.
I can't figure out how that happens. I mean, I can't figure out most things on this show, but where you have music of a different era coming through, you know, modern radio. And I mean, obviously, you can, if you have a station or a CD or something that plays music of a different era coming out of a modern radio, but when there's no explanation, nobody's playing it, how it just happens.
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, sound waves vibrate. They, you know, eventually they just get so spread out, though. I mean, the only thing that would ever come to mind is, you know, the same way that sometimes I think we have the reverberation of people doing things that some believe are having to do with the object that's holding that pattern that's in them. Not that the like limestone has a mind or an object has a mind, but somehow some people believe that they can hold essentially energy patterns. Not that there's a conscious thing, but it's just like a record playing back and forth. I would imagine that sound waves can also at times be captured the same way.
Okay.
And then be picked up again essentially, you know, being reverberated out of whatever it may be and then being picked up somewhere else. The same way that if a person can be re-seen doing something, I'd imagine the same could be true of audio.
Well, or, you know, the where you hear a voice several years later and it's exactly like what used to be said all the time, but that person's no longer there.
Yeah, that same sort of thing. I mean, and the other, I mean, what other thing that comes to mind is, you know, light years or sound waves and how long it takes sound to travel. I mean, the radio waves that are going out into space, you know, you could be theoretically at some point in some galaxy somewhere, and you're going to be just picking up the news feed from 1952. Mm-hmm. It's just reaching there. And then continue to watch that frequency or whatever it's coming out on in real time.
Sure.
Because it's just hitting it at that point in time. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense for that to be happening here. Mm-hmm. But I think there might be something along those lines where it's a reflection of the past vibrating somewhere. And this is where it goes when you have those sort of things come up. It's interesting. What you have more frequently is the audio coming up. I don't know. It's because radios are used more frequently than televisions on a signal level. You know, most TVs now, it's, you know, it's a cable connection. It's an online connection. It's not so much antenna all that often. But we don't hear a whole lot of, and I turn my TV on and I'm suddenly watching, you know, something from the 1950s. And I wasn't watching the retro TV channel.
Yeah.
You know, something like that, where it's an old reverberation of something else. Possible? Sure. Maybe it's just not that common because people don't use them that way anymore. I don't know. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Or because no TVs pick up those signals anymore. That could possibly be half of it as well.
It could be.
Even if you tried broadcasting on that, modern TVs do not pick up those signals. That's why everything had to change over a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. In the U.S. anyway. I don't know what it is over there across the pond with you guys. But in the U.S. it doesn't exist anymore. So anyway, Cody writes in, hello, Brewskis. My name's Cody from Arizona. I've been an avid listener now for about 4 months. Listen to the show every chance I get. For as long as I can remember, things have happened to me that no matter how I try, I just can't explain. The same goes to my wife. A pretty large number of stories to tell, but I'll keep this one short and sweet. My wife and I were engaged in mid-2007. Shortly thereafter, she moved into my home with me. The house was built in 2001, so not too terribly old, and I moved into the home in 2006. I suppose I should mention that I am in public safety and see my fair share of tragedy. Okay, so anyways, I worked 24-hour shifts, and prior to my wife moving into the home, it sat vacant more often than not. And however I would notice strange noises whenever I was home, it was always the same sounds. The garage access door would open, footsteps would go into the kitchen, a cabinet or two would open, a pot or pan would clang, and then footsteps to the back of the house, and then silence. This would always occur around 2 a.m., one night after the three-day shift, I came home from a friend's house and, from what I remember, went to bed in my own room. However, the next morning, I woke up in the bathtub of a guest. Fast forward about a year after my wife moved in, she added the much-needed womanly touch to our home and decorated the guest bathroom. One night, we heard quite a bit of noise from the opposite side of the house, only to find in the morning that the shower rod had been removed from the wall and laid very gently over the back tank of the toilet. There's no way that it could have fallen that way, as the toilet was next to the bathtub, and there were about 2 feet between the tub and the toilet. This really freaked us out, and after speaking with some friends who deal with paranormal stuff, we decided to sage the house. We started in the living room and worked our way around. When we got to the guest bathroom, the second we opened the door, the sage, which had previously been smoldering nicely, burst into a ball of flames and promptly went out. No smoldering, no smoke, just out. We've lit the sage and moved on to the guest room adjacent to the bathroom, from where most of the noises seemed to come, and again the sage burst into flames and promptly went out. There was no draft, no windows, no fans or AC running, so I don't think that it was a coincidence or a normal reaction of fire and oxygen. After the cleanse, the house felt much lighter. However, it did not last long. My wife seems to think that whoever or whatever this was had to do with some clothing we found in a bag in the garage that had some organic material on it, for lack of a better term, that I had brought home to launder from a call at work. Just wanted your opinion, or to see if anyone else in the emergency field has had this experience. I have much more to tell. Love the show, and keep up the great work.
I know that that would make sense for the, I'm assuming, blood or whatever kind of organic material was on the clothing to maybe be the reason for the haunting. But I think it's funny that it started to really pick up when she moved in, and it seemed to not like her decorating, which makes me think maybe it was something that just didn't like having a female presence, because like taking the shower curtain down in the middle of the night when, you know, she's been in there making it homey and everything, I just kind of feel like it was more geared towards her.
It's the anti-HGTV ghost.
It is.
It's a ghost that hates everything HGTV.
Instead of fixer-upper, it's fucker-upper.
On the next fucker-upper. And it's just, they create this beautiful home. They get ready to show it to the people. Are you ready to see your fixer-upper? And then they open the picture curtain. And the house is like eyes glowing out the window. And the lights are turning on and off. The sprinkler system's like busted and shooting water every which way. Oh my God, that's not what was supposed to happen. That'd be great. That would be great. What did you do to our beautiful home? Someone put a demonic curse on it. And that can be the thing. You don't know what's going to happen every week. They make the beautiful home. Then they let the people who conjure up the evil spirits come in for one night. They get one night to try and make the house as just completely fucked up as possible. It's like goat blood painted on the doors and all sorts of just things, rituals performed.
That's kind of like how Trading Spaces used to be. You never knew what they were going to do.
They weren't performing like, you know, sacrificial things.
No, but there
and this
was
is some, your sacrifice room.
There was some times they got properties back that were way worse than how they started.
Yeah, I do recall one episode where they're like, and we're going to make this room a tent theme. And instead of like painting the walls or doing anything, it looked like you were walking into a circus big top.
Oh.
Because I think like in passing, they're like, oh, we love, you know, we love the circus, or we love, you know, outdoor entertainment and stuff. And so Ty Pennington or whoever was, you know, thought, well, let's make it that theme. The show went off the air shortly thereafter. I do like the fucker upper idea, though. I think that could really be an entertaining television series.
It would be fun.
Oh, that'd be great. My question about a television series that's on right now is the new Zach Bagans one, where he apparently is collecting haunted shit. It's kind of like the Lorraine and Ed and Lorraine Warren room, you know, where they have all their stuff. He's kind of like doing his own version of it, where he's collecting all those things. What I don't understand is, and I guess the same is true of the Warren's house, is you got all that stuff in this room. Why is it staying in that room? Meaning the energy. What makes that so special that all these other people had the stuff in their homes and it was wreaking havoc? So you put it in your museum. Why is this not wreaking havoc with your museum and everything else around you? I don't quite grasp that part of it. The same with the Lorraine Warren thing, where they have that room and here's all these haunted objects. I mean, is it because they're not being interacted with anymore and people aren't actively using the objects and they're just sitting there not being touched? Is that what the equation is? Is that what I'm missing? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah.
I'm not calling bullshit. I'm just asking, how is it that you can have that and not have all the other negative stuff that goes along with it? If anyone would like to enlighten me, feel free. I'm just curious. I really am. Because there's some really dark stuff in there. Dark enough where Jenny made me turn the show off.
Yeah, I didn't want to watch it. Yeah. Everybody knows that I do okay listening to stuff. It's the seeing stuff that messes me up.
Can't watch this stuff anymore.
Nope.
We don't watch or talk about ghost stuff in our house.
Not at all.
Eugene writes in, hello, Brewskies. My name is Eugene. I'm from Flint, Michigan. I love the show, and I actually have it playing in the background as I'm writing this email. Just wanted to share this short story from my childhood. It popped into my head today while listening to your show. It was around 1993 or 94. I was 4 or 5 years old. I was riding around with my mother while she was running errands. I don't recall exactly where we were headed, but I can vividly remember what I saw at a particular intersection. This incident still rattles me to this day, and I recall it every time I pass this corner. It was a corner of Horton at the Cold Water Road, half a block from the old elementary school. We stopped at a red light, and I looked out the window to my right. There was a fenced-off area, probably 100 feet across in each direction. Inside this fenced-off area was a very large hole in the ground. I'm not sure how deep it was, but I know that you couldn't see the bottom from the roadside. Inside the fence, there was a boy. He appeared to be maybe 10 to 13 years old. I can still see his face clear as day when I think about this event. He had a jump rope and was jumping near the edge of the hole. When I spotted him, I said to my mom, "Hey, Mom, how did he get in here?" She turned to look in the direction I was pointing, but she claimed that she didn't see anyone. This all happened very quickly, but I remember right after I pointed and asked about him, he looked right at me with a blank stare and jumped feet first right into the hole. I tried explaining what I had seen to my mother, but I think she just blew it off. Your typical four-year-old telling stories. Out of all the experiences I've ever had, this is the only one that bothers me. I pass that intersection regularly, but it was a one-time experience. Maybe I was just imagining things, but can you tell? But I can tell you that the memory feels too real. What's your take on this? Thanks for taking the time to review my story. Keep up the great work.
I think he saw something. I mean, I think he saw a ghost, and, you know, it's one of those things where nobody else probably saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have loved to have known the history, or if he knew the history of if anybody had been hurt or fallen into that hole or anything like that. I mean, that's just really odd.
How much of that delicious Flint water were you drinking before
Don't go there. I'm sure he's sick of hearing that.
I know. Well, here's the thing. And on that city, I mean, that's a city that's gone through so much shit. Mm-hmm. And the residents of that city have gone through so many horrible, horrible times. You know, once a thriving, you know, city back when the auto industry was great there, and then this, it all really went to hell. If you'd like more on that, Roger and Me is an interesting movie. I don't want to say great movie because it just documents very, very sad circumstances. You know, it's a place where, you know, and this could be insert any city here. You dig up the ground, you disturb something, you know, I think you could have something in that case.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of that coin is, you know, you're talking 93, 94, you know, it was not a good point in time. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of that had already gone downhill, but you had a lot of distress and very, you know, desperate things going on at that time in that area. And, you know, when you have that much unhappiness, that much distress, that much, you know, sadness, I think you have a ripe ground for paranormal things to happen and probably still do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any place that's under so much stress and arrest, you know, I could imagine that that would be a common thing to have happen, and probably not very noticeable sometimes too, you know, amongst everything else that's going on.
Yeah.
So, I would say that in that specific situation, maybe it's something to do with the fact that it was looked like some form of a construction project,
mm-hmm.
or something of that nature, where something was disturbed. And maybe just everything else around also kind of played into it with the energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you got from me. Not the water.
Okay.
In that case. Yet. Now the water stuff, I mean, in 93, 94, I don't know. I could be wrong. But I think the water stuff, that's a product of many years. Like, for a while, the pipes were fine. Mm-hmm. You get to the point where they start deteriorating.
I don't think his problem's lead poisoning. I don't think it's that either.
I agree.
Okay.
I completely agree. Bonnie writes, and hello, Tony and Jenny. My name's Bonnie, and I finally decided to write in about one of my paranormal experiences. I'm 48, and I've had so many ghostly experiences that my dad always says that I should write a book. When I was 10, my family moved to a house that we shared with a poltergeist for 3 years. That experience has had a profound effect on my life and led to my convicted belief that something beyond comprehension does exist. However, the experience I'm compelled to share is one that has troubled me more than any ghost. I've been an early morning runner since I was a teenager. This story takes place in 2006 when I had my dog, Sparky. I had lived in the same house in southern Illinois since 2000, 4 to 5 days per week. I was very familiar with the goings-on of dark mornings, including crossing paths with deer, coyotes, foxes, and a handful of other morning people taking a jog or a walk. My dog was uninterested in other people or dogs. One morning, while lost in my thoughts, Sparky slowed and alerted me to something ahead. This was unusual, so I slowed. My gaze went from the road beneath my feet to about 1/8 of a mile ahead of me, where the road came to a T. I usually turn left at the T. To the right of the T, there was an entrance to a neighborhood, so there was one or two street lights on that corner. Everything across from after that entrance was cornfield and woods where it became pitch dark. I stared in confusion for the moment at what I saw and then stopped in my tracks. I saw what my dog saw, a strange figure. My logic jumped to the idea that it was a person in some impossible costume moving in a very peculiar way. Quickly, I realized that since it was parallel to the streetlight, it was at least 15 feet tall. Its movement and shape were what I later best compared to a praying mantis. It did not appear to have clothing. It was dark gray and had a solid shape. It walked in great long strides as its pointy, long legs reached forward and its elongated arms pumped up and down, bent at the pointy elbows. Its gaze seemed to gently sweep from side to side as if looking for something on the ground. It did not react as if it had noticed me. I stood completely stunned and fear flooded me. I almost turned and ran for home, but I had an overwhelming pull to continue observing. So I began to slowly jog forward, keeping my eye on the creature the whole time as my dog pranced on her toes with her eyes locked into the creature as well. By the time I reached the corner, the creature had faded into the darkness. I shared the story with a few family members and friends, and none of us could make any sense of it. Fast forward to the summer of 2015. One night we had a neighborhood couple over and were sitting around in the fire pit. I know this couple does not fall for any hook'em spook'em, as they call it, but I decided to share the story with him. The husband remained very quiet and seemed to be pondering my story. After a few minutes, he told me that he had worked with a friend who lived along the road where I saw the creature, and this person had once told him, "Weird, that shit happens over there." Our neighbor said that this was all he could tell me, and I'd impress him because he seemed very uneasy about the conversation. The only other thing I knew about this road is that it is named after a family's teenage son who passed away several years prior to this experience. I've had more recent experience along this road that I can share at another time. Thank you for your amazing program. Helps the paranormally affected feel less crazy.
I'd love to know what the neighbor knows. It sounds like he knows more than he's letting on.
The thing is, if you ever submitted this story or a picture, if you ever got one to like any sort of like a government agency, what you would get is the response is, "Oh, it's a raccoon with mange." It's a coyote with mange.
Uh-huh.
That's always the reaction. That's always the result.
Okay.
When you have these things submitted, because you have things like that quite often with people with a chupacabra.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I've seen some of the videos and some of the photos of some of these things. That's not a raccoon or a coyote with mange.
Yeah.
On some of these. It's like, does it turn into Teen Wolf? You know, is that what mange does to these animals now? Mm-hmm. Or what the hell, what does mange exactly do? Is this like some sort of fucked up thing from The Walking Dead that's coming back? With this case, I do not think it's a raccoon with mange. I don't know. What the description was rather interesting.
It was. And it's hard to know if it's something that's chosen to portray itself to appear like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if that's just a interesting creature and who knows what it is.
It's a raccoon with mange.
Yeah.
It's one hell of a raccoon. I don't know. I think it's, I don't know. It's, I just don't know.
Okay.
That's my answer. I don't know. Very creepy. Obviously something you're probably lucky you didn't have to encounter more than once. Robert writes in, recently found your podcast and have been burning through episodes daily. Recently became an EPP as well. Thank you, Robert. I have a few stories about strange things happening to me, but they are mostly not ghost-related, though the woman in my mom's side of the family seems to be much more sensitive to the supernatural than I am, and I have a few of their stories. I'll tell you my best or most compelling ghost story, though. It happened when I was in high school in a place called Hayfork, a tiny town about 6 hours north of San Francisco, during what I think was my junior year. I'd been at a party with friends and was admittedly a little bit buzzed, but I was sober enough to be aware. Anyway, got a ride home from a friend who had a large, noisy truck that I didn't want pulling up outside my parents' house and waking them up to find me drunk and sneaking in. Instead, I had him drop me off at the end of the road. He lived on and walked a mile or so, hoping the night air and the exercise would sober me up a bit in case my mom and dad still caught me. I was getting close to home, nearing a culvert pipe that's large enough to be a small bridge where the creek that the road is named after runs under the road. I was startled to see someone standing on the other side of the road as I came around the corner before the culvert. I soon became more concerned than startled when I saw it was a thin, pale girl around my age and heard that she seemed to be crying into her hand softly. I stopped and made my presence known by saying something like, "Hello, are you okay? Do you need help?" I was just about to say that my house was close if she needed to use a phone when she looked up suddenly, in shock, at my voice before darting across the road and into the thick tangle of buckbrush that runs along that stretch of it. My folks' place is on a road that is a good way outside of town, and the forest is very thick and the terrain ranges from mountainous to hilly throughout, not a great place to get lost or fall. I cautiously followed, saying, "Not to worry, I just wanted to help." When I got to the spot she had disappeared into the bushes, I saw that there was a thick bramble that I had to push through, getting scratched up by the thorn-like tangle of branches, and immediately ran into a very steep, muddy embankment that no one I know could have climbed in that short of time. I wasn't able to see her, definitely couldn't have done it without making any noise. She was just gone. I climbed the 10-foot embankment with not a small amount of effort, and at the top found a barbed wire fence that runs around my parents' property, and beyond that, a thick overgrowth of blackberry vines. There was no way I could see that she could have made it past all these barriers and gotten out of sight and earshot so quickly. I couldn't even find a way to get past the berry bramble. She just disappeared. I scrambled back down the way I came and pushed through the bushes and stood there listening for what felt like 10 minutes, at least just listening for the sound of movement. But the only noises were the soft wind and a faint echoing gurgling of the creek as it traveled beneath the road. I suddenly felt cold, and the hair on my neck and arms stood at end, and I was all at once more frightened than I've ever been in the woods before, so I quickly and cautiously walked the rest of the way home. The area is known to have both bears and mountain lions, so I was trying not to run, as that could provoke an attack, and snuck into my room. I didn't sleep well that night and kept waking and feeling like someone else was in my room and had the lingering impression that the sound of crying had woken me. For many years after that, I would occasionally wake that way, feeling like I was alone and that there was a lingering sense of deep sadness. It's my first and most unexplainable personal ghost story. Thanks for reading it. Keep up the excellent work with the podcast.
I kind of wonder if this person or this ghost of a person didn't want him to get into some kind of trouble, meaning maybe they knew that he was kind of in a vulnerable position, being a little bit buzzed and not probably thinking as accurately as he would have if he hadn't been, and thought, "I'm going to entice him to chase me."
Like something dark trying to get him hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. I could see that. I mean, it's so hard to know in something like that. Or is it just a very confused soul that is still, you know, very much very shy, very scared of who's out there, and why was she there to begin with?
Right.
You know, it really could go almost any direction. But nonetheless, that's a creepy story to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You're out there and just the setting and all that. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. We'd love to hear more. If you are not an EPP yet, please consider becoming one. You sign up on the website, ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, 90 some of them out there now. All of that stuff, exclusive video content, and more. And that's what keeps this thing on the air. So check it out. EPP, extra podcast person, is what that stands for. $5 a month is all we ask, and you get all the extra content. So there you go. We appreciate the help and helping us stay on the air. Mary writes in, "Dear Tony and Jenny, I'm not totally sure that this counts as a ghost story or just childhood imagination, but I feel the need to say something about it. Here it is. When I was in second grade, I met a boy. I don't want to say his name here, and even now I avoid his name at all costs. Then meeting him felt like a blessing on my side because I didn't have any friends, and neither did he. We were practically ghosts on the playground. He and I both enjoyed Harry Potter, and this is where our connection began. However, when we got around to discussing the supernatural aspects of the novels, he began telling me about the supernatural in the real world. I thought at first that his stories were cool because I'd never heard anything about ghosts beyond Scooby-Doo or Goosebumps stories before. Until that boy, that is, It seemed when I began to feel increasingly paranoid and tormented by said paranoia. That's when I broke my friendship off with the boy, thinking that eliminating the source would eliminate the paranoia itself. But it only worsened, and this boy did not help lessen my fears. When I told the boy that I no longer wanted to spend time with him if he kept telling me scary stories, he grumbled and ran away as if he were in a fury of sorts. I told myself that he'd cool down the next day. He might even stop telling me stories. The next day came and I didn't see him at all. He seemed to vanish. I assumed he was absent from school. He only came back to school when I began to worry after him. Then the torment stopped, being strictly self-afflicted, and entered my exterior world. The boy chased me around the whole playground, through the fields, and on the play structures. I shook with fear and ran until I asked the after-school program monitor to use the bathroom. I stayed behind, locked the door of the single girls' restroom until the monitor came searching to tell me my dad was there, very worried that I couldn't be found. When asked why I hid, I admitted that the boy wouldn't stop chasing me. Yet none of the children asked about the matter saw the boy chase me. Time passed, but my fears only worsened. I hid from the boy everywhere, even when other people were close. Soon, I felt a constant presence following at my heels. It climaxed one night after my parents sent me to bed. Couldn't stop staring at my doorknob, where I had a robe hanging. It was white and pink-colored, but it looked black in the absence of light. I began sobbing into my pillow and hiding under my special blanket, feeling as if the boy was hiding in the robe. I thought there were faces surrounding me and floating in the dark. My parents came and listened to me sob about the boy who tormented me so. Then they sent me to bed with milk and an open door in a lit hallway. Somehow I slept. After an inquiry arose at school, the boy vanished almost entirely. This time, I only saw him again a few years ago when I felt very depressed. His picture, hardly changed, appeared in a Facebook friend's request. I blocked him. Nevertheless, after nearly a decade, I sometimes get that shadowy feeling that tingles my spine and forces me to turn on a light so I may sleep. What do you think? Was it bullying or something more? Thank you. Sincerely, Mary. P.S. For clarification purposes, I know that the boy himself was not a ghost, and he denied everything later on, seemingly, legitimately saying that he had no part in anything to do with me. Since no one saw him tormenting me and I had this overwhelming presence that took the form of my former friend, I wondered if maybe this was a doppelganger of him or a ghost in my bedroom that's fed off my fears somehow. Thanks again.
I think maybe it was something that was attached to the friend and then decided to follow her and took on appearing like him.
Yeah, I would say that there's probably some aspects of that where there was some interaction. And then I think beyond that, something else was interacting and she was, you know, a child mind just associating it. It's him. It's the boy. And that's probably why he's like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Right.
You know, I wonder if sometimes they really weren't playing on the playground.
Yeah.
And he really wasn't out there. So, I don't know, I mean, there's so many parts to that you, it's hard to know where reality is, where it begins and where it ends.
I kind of almost wonder if something possessed the little boy and then let go of him and decided to try and follow her.
I don't know. It's an odd one.
It is.
It's an. I was fully expecting it to be, and then the teacher said, there isn't a little boy. All your classmates are over here.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, didn't go that road. But that's kind of I usually can predict these things pretty well.
Gotcha.
Kind of disappointed that your history didn't match up with my predictions. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, Tony. I was really contemplating on calling because I wasn't sure if I wanted to share this because I just wasn't sure. And, well, this happened about 2004. And I had been staying at my aunt's house, where it was me, my cousin, his sister, and their little sister. And their old home was on the south side of Chicago, in a relatively old red brick home. And as soon as you walk into that house, you just felt tension. And there's been other instances in that house that I'd probably call back and let you guys know. But there's just one that really hit me still till this day that I haven't really shared with anyone. And when I did, I just, they would look at me like I had two heads. So I really just kept it to myself. And not even me and my cousin talk about it because of what we both saw. And not really till later, and I actually analyzed it and got older and really seen in my head that I really kind of freaked myself out, because it was on a summer night. My aunt had left us with my older cousin, where she was about 3-4 years older than us, and at the time we were about 11 years old. And we stay up late playing video games, you know, as kids do. And then we go to bed relatively late, you know, and we end up falling asleep on his top bunk bed, because on the bottom was where his their little sister would sleep, my little cousin. And we would sleep up top together on the top of the bunk bed. And right in front of their bunk bed was this gigantic closet. And I mean gigantic, to where not just the doors opened all the way from top to bottom, just gigantic closet. And at the top of this closet was this pretty much huge hole where the attic was, which was covered with a layer of wood. So me and my cousin were told never to go up there, but we always heard something. And my aunt always said, oh, they're just squirrels, or they're just, you know, birds in the attic. So we just, okay, birds and squirrels, we're just kids, so we really didn't care. But we were sleeping, and we end up being woken up by something, some kind of movement over the room. And we look at the closet, because it sounds like shuffling, and we just automatically look at the attic hatchway, or the from the way up to the attic, and the wood's gone. And we, as kids, we just look at each other like, what the hell? Because all you see is blackness. And we're sitting pretty much at the far, I mean, we're at the back of the wall trying to stay far away from this, because we woke up scared. And all of a sudden, this head just looks down at us. And I never really was able to analyze it. Like, back then, it was just like, it happened so fast that it looked down. And all I remember is this white face with short black hair. And mind you, now that I've thought about it, the hair, with it being upside down, you would think that the hair would be hanging. And the hair was right as if he was standing straight up. There was nothing contorted on his head showing that he was upside down. And for, it was like a 5-second brief interaction, just looking at each other, and all of a sudden, just gone. And then we wake up, as if, I don't even remember how I went back to sleep. And from till this day, it's just the weirdest interaction of any kind of paranormal I've ever had, because I've never had anything happen. But, or I should say, I've just never really looked for it. But from when we're at that house, that was the only time I know that there's other interactions I've had, but that was probably the craziest interaction I ever had with a being. But, you know, I'm glad I was able to share this with you guys, and I love your outlet, you love your show, I love what you guys are doing. You know, I would love to hear this on your podcast. I just became an EPP member, so I can't wait to see what else you guys have. So, thanks a lot.
Well, I do agree there's something paranormal. I think he saw something ghostly. but I do have an explanation for the hair. This occurred years ago when there was a product that some of you may remember that I'm assuming the ghost was probably an avid user of. You know what that product is?
Uh-uh.
Aquanet. That could do that shit.
Okay.
Only Aquanet could make hair do something like that.
You know, that's not the first story we've had about a creature in the attic peeking down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had another couple of stories like that. I'm sorry, I'm just not biting on the Aquanet.
You don't think the Aquanet is is a possibility?
No.
I'm kidding. I don't really think the ghost used Aquanet.
Of course not.
But, you know, enough of that shit could probably do that. Seriously, like, that would be... That'd be really creepy. Like, if you had a Halloween costume and you were a ghost that was hanging upside down and you had long hair and you wanted it to be really creepy so the hair doesn't, like, play with gravity, you put enough Aquanet on there, you could probably keep long hair like that. Good luck getting it out. You'd probably have to cut your hair out after that.
I don't know about that.
A lot of Aquanet. Mm-hmm. Aquanet did amazing things. Put Aquanet in your hair and then go out in the like, negative 20 degree weather in Wisconsin and wait for the school bus. That shit will crack off. Your hair will literally crack off. That's what I blame for what happened
advice
to me.
Advice from the bald man.
There you go. That's okay. How not to lose your hair.
Okay.
There you go. Creepy story.
Mm-hmm.
I did like that. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hi. This is John Thomas. I just bought this story. I realized I didn't go into great detail about it. It's just the one with the statue head of my fiance. So let me start over by saying we were dating for about 6 months, and she lived in a different place rather than the home we live in now. I never knew she had the statue. She always kept it up somewhere, and I had no idea about it. So as we continued to date, we got engaged, and we purchased the house. And while we were setting up everything in the house, I ran across this statue head, and it really, really just creeped me out. It just sent shivers up my spine. It was of her when she was 4 years old. Her grandma had taken her to get the statue made of herself. So I go, and I start to do some yard work, and she's setting up our bedroom. Well, she puts the statue head on the dresser at the foot of our bed, and she loves candles. So... And on the evening, she lit a bunch of candles around it, and it looked really creepy. It really did. So I told her, I was like, this makes me really uneasy. So I got my phone out, and I took a picture of it. And I was standing to the left, not facing head on. The statue was face forward, the eyes were forward. Well, in the picture, the statue is literally looking at the camera, smiling. And this creeped me out to no end. It creeped her out as well. So I asked her, I said, can we just throw this thing away? She said, no, my grandma made it for me. I'm going to keep it. So I decided to put it in the spare bedroom. Well, as we started to move in, I decided to make the spare bedroom into my 4-year-old son's room. And I did so, and I didn't really check the closet that well. I just moved in this bed, TV, dressers, that's it. So the first night he stayed in there, about 2:30 in the morning, he screamed. I run in there, and he said, Daddy, there's something in the closet. And I asked him, I said, did you open the closet? Did you go in there? He says, no, there's something in there. And when I opened the closet, there was a statue that she had put in there. And he screamed when he saw the statue. Now, my son, he's very honest to be 4. He said he did not open the closet door. So I'm going to believe it. He's never seen this thing before. And plus, the handle is very tall, so we can't really reach it. So from that point on, I kept it in the attic. Well, it feels like... I'm being watched, I guess, like in the house. From there by myself in the evening, it starts to get dark. I get really uneasy. I'm not just scaring myself because I'm very familiar with the paranormal. And, you know, I'm not afraid of it. But the feeling that I got was very uneasy. Like, very hard to describe.
Okay, so a statue that changes its expression for pictures. That's really creepy.
And I'm guessing even beyond that, there's probably some sort of vibe that thing's giving off.
Yeah.
That the kid is reacting to even more than the movement of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's something, you know, sometimes you're by an object, especially if you're younger. I don't know. I can't give you any specific examples, but I do remember them just there being certain things like, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be near it. I didn't know why I didn't like it or want to be near it, but I felt like I was a little more sensitive to some of those things when I was a kid.
Right.
Now I can really take or leave almost anything. You're not so much that way.
No.
You very much, I think, still have that ability. I don't. But I think that there's probably some of that there going on with it being a child that was reacting in that,
mm-hmm.
that way. Yeah, that is very creepy. Mm. I've never quite understood the statues where you have that, where it changes in pictures and people have documented it. It's like, oh my God, That's creepy. All right. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story. If you like the show, please support it. Help us stay on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Get all of our bonus episodes. Sign up on the website at ghostpodcast.com to do just that. We greatly appreciate your support. If you already are an EPP, you guys, of course, are what keeps this show on the air. So thank you so much for that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.